them that I would probably speak a little bit out of the Gospel of John, and I'm going to do that real quick, and we'll do the testimonies in just a few minutes, okay? All right, let me get to it. And this is going to be a little bit more of a teaching than it is a preaching thing here. So let me get to it. The Gospel of John, in the beginning. And you know what? The beginning, there's nothing before the beginning, but the beginning is the beginning, okay? Only God knows what happened before the beginning, if there was a beginning. Okay, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same is in the beginning with God. You know, the word there for word is the word logos. In the beginning was the logos. And one time I did a little studying on that, and I felt like the Lord kind of spoke to me and gave me a definition for that word logos, other than what the Bible definition for it is, okay? Strong's. But I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Lord told me. In the beginning was his thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes. And the Word was made flesh. His thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And that thoughts, intentions, and purposes was Jesus Christ. He was his thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes. And when he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to forgive us of all sin. He came to meet all of our needs. And as we learn to look to him in everything, we're going to find that he is our all in all. And until we come to that total revelation of him being our all in all, we're going to go lacking a little bit once in a while. We're going to miss some things. But you know, the neat thing about it is I was talking to him back in Sunday school, and I told him, you know, when I was back in Sunday school, I said, you know, at one time I said, not too long after I'd got saved, and I hadn't been saved very long, and things got really tight. It was after the Vietnam War went down, and Margaret and I had two children. We still have two. That big guy back there, he's my little boy. When he walked in, I was going to say, there's my little buddy, and I said, well, I can't call him little buddy anymore. He's bigger than me. But you know what? He was just a baby. And Jennifer was like 3 years old. And, you know, they had a big layoff. And they laid off about 1,800 people because the Vietnam War had gotten over with. And a lot of the stuff we were making was being used in the Vietnam War. And they were calling people over and, you know, setting them down and talking to them before they laid them off. And they didn't lay them off in the way that, you know, I would have liked to seen people get laid off. They called you over, they set you down, talked to your supervisor. They told you that you were going to be laid off and that you probably wouldn't be called back for a year. That's what they were doing back then. And anyway, a lot of the guys, and they would take you, get a guard to take you, get your toolbox, and you was out the door right then. And I don't care how many years you worked there, that's the way they did it. And that wasn't a very pleasant thing because you sort of felt like not only were you getting laid off, but, boy, they was kicking you out the door right then. And, you know, I had been saved for a little while, and when they came and they got me, I'd worked on ball screws, which you guys won't understand this. The people who've done machining will understand this. Ball screws are what is in CNC and NC machinery, and it allows it to be able to move in directions with no backlash, and that's what makes these machines that they have today so precise when they turn parts and make parts. Those ball screws. Well, I worked through my vacation that year, and I didn't take a vacation, and I had an inspector who used to stand over top of me, and when I'd run a part, he'd take it and check it to make sure it had no cracks in it and all this different stuff. And I had done a lot of work in helping them develop that, you know. And so they called me over, and I had 5 years out there, and I'm just going to share this testimony real quick. I had 5 years out there, and when I had this 5 years in, when they called me over, they told me, they said, "Oscar, we really hate to lay you off. We know that you worked through your vacation and you help us with these ball screws and stuff, get them worked out and all that kind of stuff." And they said, "But, you know, we kept you through five layoffs when you should have been laid off." And I said, "Well," and they said, "Do you think you'll come back when we call you back?" Said, "You know, we're laying people off and they'll be gone for a year." That was the company policy. And I said, "Well," I said, "I don't know." I said, "But I just really want to thank you for all that you've taught me while I've been here, because you've taught me a lot of things." And I said, "And I'm sure I'll be able to put them at good use somewhere." And I said, "I just want to thank you." And I didn't know at the time, but they recorded your last words that you said. I found that out later on. And, you know, they led me out the door like the rest of them, you know. But I was thankful for what they had taught me. And a lot of guys were grumbling, complaining, and cussing and everything else as they went out the door. Well, about a year later, I told these guys, I said, you couldn't find a job out there at that time because all the machine tool companies around were laying people off and had a bunch of people laid off. And I went out and started putting in applications. And I drove by this one company four or five times and never went in there. And I put in applications at other companies. And when I'd go in there, I felt kind of stupid because they'd say, "Well, we got guys laid off with 15, 20 years experience." You know, I had 5 years' experience. So anyway, to make a long story short, I got a phone call. I took a job that paid less than unemployment, just to go back to work because I felt like I was letting my family down. And while I was working there, I got a call at home. Margaret said, "Some guy called you, and he said, you know, you know, could he talk to you? You know, he wants to maybe give you a job." And I said, "Okay." So anyway, I talked to him, and his name was Ray Haas. And Ray never did tell me how he got my name because I didn't have an application in there. And I was telling them back there, having been in supervision, I know a lot of times when people come in and fill out applications, if it's somebody that you think you probably won't use, you file their application in the round file, the garbage can, because otherwise you're just going to have so many applications laying around that you'd never have no place to put them. So anyway, so to make a long story short, I got this call from this guy from Ray Haas, and I didn't know how he got my name or anything, and he offered me a job. He asked me what I could do, and I told him, and he says, "Well, you're right what we're looking for." And I worked there for 18 years, and I was the only person in that company that did that job. Nobody else did it. And the guy who did it before me took 30 minutes to run a part. I did those parts in 6 minutes. So they loved me. I mean, they really did. They took me right up to highest rate real fast. And I actually passed up guys who had been there for 25 years and stuff and made more money than they did on that same line there. And also, like I told the people there, they were some of the ones that rubbed the stones as far as I was concerned. They rubbed me. They didn't like it. They found out what I was making after a while. And some of them tried to give me a hard time. I actually even had one guy say to me, "You know," he said, "I worked at this one company," and he said, "And this guy come in there, and he was working fast and doing stuff real fast." And he said, "And all the guys got together and told him he better slow down." And I hadn't been saved very long. And I was only about 22. And I looked at him and I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, that'd be the worst thing somebody could say to me, because I'd work harder and faster. And I'd say, bring it on. And he got this funny look on his face. That was the last I ever heard about that. Because he was an old man, and I probably could have tied him in a knot if I had to. I was 22 years old and in pretty good shape and everything. But anyway, later on, finally, I asked a guy, I said, after I'd been there for a couple years, I asked him one time, I said, Ray, can I ask you? I said, how'd you get my name? And he said, well, I was asking people when I talked to some of my, you know, vendors and different people that we did some work for, if they knew anybody that could do precision grinding and stuff. And he said, and this one company gave me your name, and I believe it might have been P&G. P&G don't have internal grinder operators. So they didn't file it in the round can. And that had to probably be God moving there, because they gave him my name. Well, anyway, I got that job, and I worked there for 18 years. They you know, made pretty decent money while I worked there, worked a lot of overtime, had really super seniority because they couldn't lay me off. I was the only one who could do it. And I became a supervisor in that company and, you know, so on and so forth. But anyway, what I'm telling you is God is in control. He's in control, and if you trust him, he'll take care of you. When I went out the door, when I got laid off at Milacron, my mother worked in another division of that, and I had to wait on her because you had to leave right then when they laid you off. And I sat out in the car, and I don't know what it was, but I was just singing and praising the Lord and carrying on in the car. Somebody probably would have thought I was crazy, you know. But I don't know. The joy of the Lord was just on me, and I was just praising the Lord, you know. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, he was a little baby, and Jennifer was 3 years old, and I was the only one. And we had maybe a couple $100 in the bank at the most. And back then, you had to wait a while to get your unemployment. And unemployment back then was $50 a week. And I was making about $150 a week out there. So it was about a third of what, you know, about a third of what I normally would get. But, you know, God's good, and he knows what he's doing. And he already had another job lined up for me. And that's like for you over there, Frankie. God's got that job lined up for you, see? And this thing that hit you sounds like it's a bad thing because you ain't been getting paid, but he gave you a better job than you had before. Praise God. Don't forget to thank him for that a lot, you know, because I tell you what, he's got you. And I believe he's got you no matter who you are or what you're doing. And, you know, but anyway, I just wanted to share that with you real quick. And I want you to know that when Jesus came, he was God's thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes. And he wanted to bring man back into that relationship of his thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes. And that's why it tells you in the scripture that you have the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of times, if you don't believe you got it, you won't have it. You won't function in it. But I tell you what, you have to start believing what his word declares. And if you acknowledge him every day, then he will take care of you. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go on through this. I could have went on through it, but I'm not going to. And I'm going to open this up, and I want you to keep recording this. I'm going to open this up for testimonies because I felt like I was supposed to do that. When I was walking down the hallway, Kathy said, well, the Lord had been dealing with me about something, and I've been kind of wanting to share it and waiting for a door to open. Well, guess what? God opened the door. He knew that before I got here today. And, you know, so Holden, if you will, you could turn that on, and you could go to Kathy, and you can just hold it if you want to, because you might have to wrestle it away from somebody if they talk too long. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You can talk as long as you want.
Good morning, everybody. Is this
Praise
on?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. You know, I have a lot of stuff happen to me in the middle of the night because my tummy wakes me up a lot, and people who have had gallbladder surgery would understand that. But in the middle of the night, sometimes I rouse around and I'm in a little pain. And also, I have to start by saying this. When this was happening to me, it sounded like the most spiritual thing, that I was just in glory. But now this morning when Oscar said that and it came back to me again, I thought, this is the silliest thing. But you know what? If God said share it, I'll share it. And okay, you know those YouTube videos where the dogs, there's these dogs and they're always doing funny things and they say things to each other and then they go, ha 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 ha, you know? And anyway. Yeah, they're so funny. Well, I don't know if this is a dream. I think it was a dream, and then you kind of wake up in the middle of this dream. You come to a semi-wake. So it's usually between semi-wake and semi-sleeping. And this little puppy dog was laying on this rug, kind of looking all forlorn, and nobody was home. And I got to stand up. And in walks his master. Oh, if you could have seen that dog, you would know how I feel. He jumped up, you know, with the rubbing, and he ran to the master. And the master had his hand closed. And the master said, I have a treat for you. And the dog went nuts. You've seen those little peanuts things, and peanuts, and the dog is Snoopy, and he's standing on his hind legs, and you know, and he's so happy, and the little hearts are coming out of his ears and his nose and his eyes. That's the way this little dog was. The master. Oh, my master is here, and he has a treat for me. And he bent down. And he gave the dog the treat. And the dog said, oh, look at that look on his face. He loves me. Mm-hmm. And then he said, oh, the twinkle in his eye. It's giving him more pleasure to give me this treat than I'm getting to receive it. He loves me. He loves me. And that understanding came to that dog that his master loved him so. And I was laying there, and the same thought came to me. Mm-hmm. The master loves me.
Praise the Lord.
He loves me. He said, oh, I have more than this for you.
Amen.
I have treats for you that you're not going to believe. Eye has never seen, ear has never heard, it can't even enter into the mind of you. The joy that I will reveal, guess where? Right inside of you. Oh, the best thing to remember is my master loves me. Now, then he said, Keep watching me. Don't look away. Don't let other things take over your wants. Don't let other things draw you away. Nothing is as good as what I'm going to give you. Oh, and I tell you what, I was laying there in bed, and I thought I was going to jump out of bed and hit the ceiling. I felt so loved. I felt so loved. And I believe that was truth. I believe God was showing me truth. Now, that's not much of a testimony of my life. But you know what it is? It's a testimony of my expectation in him.
Amen.
So that's all
good.
I got.
That's good. Praise the Lord. Let me share something before you get somebody else. Think about somebody raising your hand in a minute here. You know, years ago one time, Brother Eddie had asked me to speak. This is many years ago. He had asked me to speak, and, you know, I thought about, well, Lord, what would you have me share? And he took me to that scripture about that God seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I never had checked into the word worship to find out what it meant. And Marge and Jim had picked up this little dog by the side of the road, and it was kind of a scroungy little dog and looking dog, and they got it cleaned up, and they took it to the dentist and had some of its teeth pulled to the vet. It had bad teeth. Marge kept telling Margaret, she said, "Margaret, you ought to take this dog. Margaret, you ought to take this dog." And Margaret's a big softy, and I kept watching her. She said, "Marge, I'm not going to take that dog. I'm not going to take it." Marge kept on her, and finally I told her, "Margaret, if you want to take the dog, take the dog. I don't care. She's the dog person, not me." And so she takes the dog. It didn't have no teeth. And Susan, don't get offended when I tell you this part of it. Mark, when we got the dog, we were thinking of a name, and Mark says, "Well, let's name it Gabby, after Gabby Hayes, you know, the Roy Rogers." Because Gabby, most of the time, didn't have his teeth in when he was, you know, he was the comedic part of Roy Rogers' sidekick. And we didn't know that Audrey's maiden name was Hayes. That was her uncle. We told her that one time, and I thought, "Oh no, I'm in trouble." We shouldn't have told her that. But no. But anyway, the thing is that little dog, I never had a dog when I was little. I had one, and my brother took it out and lost it, probably on purpose, maybe, I don't know, because it was kind of howling at night. It didn't want us, you know, it was a puppy. And anyway, so this little dog loved Margaret. I told her, "It's your dog. I'll pet it, and, you know, it'll be okay, but it's not my dog. It's your dog. You got to take care of it." And, and that little dog absolutely loved her, what you're saying. And it would come, and when she'd come in the house, it would just follow her and push the back of her leg and just keep pushing her until she would turn around and acknowledge that dog and pet it. And if I came in without it, it would run through the house looking for her. And it would run upstairs, and we got a bed that's about this high off the floor. She has to climb up on a stool to get in the bed. And that little dog would jump up on the side of the bed and because trying to see if she was maybe laying on the bed, you know. Well, I'd pet it, and when I'd pet it, it would fawn down. It would actually turn its head and lay down flat on the ground and get in total submission to me, you know. And I wondered if somebody had mistreated the dog or something. You know, I didn't know. But anyway, when I started preparing my sermon, the Lord had given me that scripture that he seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. I looked up that word worship, and here's what it means. It means to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand. It means to fawn, to prostrate, to do all that kind of stuff, to get, like, basically in total submission. And that's what you were experiencing last night, Kathy. And you know what? That dog just loved her to death. And, you know, I did kid Jim one time. Jim called one time, and he says, "Oscar," he says, "how's the little dog doing?" I said, "Well, Jimmy's doing pretty good. I said, I laid hands on him last night, and he grew teeth." And I don't kid too much. You know, I do kid, but not in here too much. Jim says, "Really? Really?" I laughed. I said, "No, Jim, I'm just messing with you." I said, "No, he didn't grow teeth." I said, "He could have, though. He could have been possible if the Lord wanted him to grow them." But anyway. All right. We got any other testimonies? Come on. Now, I know God's been speaking to some of you all. And yeah. Go back there. Back there.
Do it. Am I? Is this on?
Yeah, it's turned on.
Check. All right. So this was past week. Last Sunday we weren't here because Cole had a state competition for his marching band. They mm-hmm. did well. But that Friday we went to go drop off. No, actually Friday. Kaya gets up. We usually go grocery shopping that day on Friday. Thursday night, she was getting everything ready for the grocery trip. And she realized she did not have her wallet. And then, of course, panic, right? She had her green card, her all the credit cards, bank account numbers, everything, state ID. So, and of course, you know, we looked everywhere, you know, we searched the car, everything. And then, you know, of course, we prayed, looked for it again, and then, you know, went through, called the, you know, shut down all the cards, looking through, you know, the green card process, how we can, you know, get that card again, you know, that's a pain. So all these things, and so the next day, we're just thinking what happened, right? So she did not go out of the house at all, like, that whole week. So what Sunday was when we dropped off Kenta at Ohio State, so we're like, oh, that's probably what happened, you know? So we're trying to think. She paid for the parking at one of the garages, so like, oh, no, we might have dropped it there. But then we went and dropped Kenta off at the library that night because he wanted to study. So, and it was raining, it was windy, and, you know, anyways. So that was on Sunday, this was on, you know, so I called Friday, I called Ohio State, you know, just whatever, you know, let me see. They called their lost and found. Of course, nobody picked up. I left a message, and just trying to think through. I was like, oh, maybe at the library, because that's where we dropped him last. So we went, I called, and somebody picked up and said, okay, let me get you to security. So, you know, they looked, described the thing, and just waiting, you know, praying. Like, oh, no, this is like, and then they came back online. Yeah, we have your wallet. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mean, you pray, you do all these things, but then when that happens, it's like, really? Did that just, you know? It's like, what? But anyway, praise God, you know? It's, I mean, I don't know. Like where we were that night to, you know, how relieved we were the next day. Of course, I wanted to share with you all, but we went there. And you know how quickly I forget to, you know, from where I was to, after everything was done, it's like, you know, I almost forgot about it until Pastor said that you have a testimony, you know? So praise God, and, you know, he's always there, and
that is praise it. The Lord. That's a good testimony. Praise God. Anybody else? Have you got something you want to share, Charlene? I thought you had your hand up. I'm just scouting the auditorium to see if anybody. Wait a minute. Let them come over with the mic so we can hear. So we can get on the CD.
Thank you. I just enjoy so much when you bring out some of the things that you went through over the years in your jobs and everything. And I think it's a scripture that says anything that you do and all that you do, do is it unto the Lord.
Right.
Well. That's whether you're cleaning the toilet or you're on the job and you're doing it as unto the Lord. He'll bless it. And it just makes every bit of difference. And, of course, nowadays I'm full-time nurse to my husband. And in one way, I thought sure he was going to come. And, you know, it seemed like the night before he talks about it. And then when he gets up in the morning, mornings are so hard for him. Once he gets through the mornings, he's a lot better off. But and he's doing okay. But he does short-term memory. You know, he forgets everything. You know, all day long he asks the same thing over again. And yet, you know, he seems, otherwise you talk to him, you probably wouldn't realize. But and it's been held. Another thing, I was thinking about the name of Jesus. No other name, no name higher than that name. But there is something higher, and that's his word. His word is above his name.
That's right.
It's a scripture. It's scriptural. And that's why when we, you know, it's so precious. We're not educated. I know how hard Oscar's worked to get the meaning of this word, and that it fascinates me so much. But yet that, for us, God blesses us when we read the word. our understanding. He gives it to us right. any level we are, you know. And I wish I knew a whole lot more than I do. It makes you feel inadequate. And yet, when you're in the Word and you're needing a word, you're needing God to give you a word, He always comes through with something. Never fails. Never fails. And I praise Him for that. Right now, it's one day at a time, sweet Jesus. And for most of us, that's just the way it seems to be. Amen. And that's okay. That's okay. That's enough. We'll make it. We'll make
praise
it.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Holden.
Anybody else?
You might as well just stay there, buddy, wherever you go. You won't have to run back and forth so much. Who else? Anybody else? You know, Margaret said that our brother-in-law passed away the other night. And, you know, we got a call from him. He was in the hospital a day or so before he died. Or went to be with the Lord. I'll say died. But that old flesh body did die. And the real person inside of him didn't. It went to be with God. But anyway, he called us. And he told us, he says, I'm in the hospital. And Margaret's sister hadn't even called us yet. And he called us and said, I'm in the hospital. And he said, I'm eat up with cancer. I got it all through my body. And he said, and I just wanted to call you guys and tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. All the years, you know, that you've helped us and done things for us and helped us so many times. And he said, and think about that. Person's on his deathbed. He said, I'll never get out of this hospital. He says, I know I won't. And 2 days later, they were going to put him in hospice. And before they could put him in hospice, he passed away. But, you know, sometimes we don't realize that even if you love somebody and you want to tell them you appreciate them or something, don't hold off, because your opportunity to do that might not be there later on. You know what I mean? And you know, it was really... Margaret's sister, Helen, you know, she called to tell us that he had passed away. And I answered Margaret's phone, and we were trying to not say anything and let Loretta call and tell her, you know, rather than one of us pass the word around, because, you know, that way you get it straight from the person's mouth, you know, rather than us. And, you know, when she was talking to me, I told her, I said, yeah. She said, did you know? I said, well, yeah. And, you know, she's a little touchy sometimes. She gets her feelings hurt if she feels like somebody didn't tell her things, you know. But, you know, it was actually Kenny that called us. It wasn't even Loretta, you know, Margaret's sister. So, you know, we told her that, and she said, really? I said, yeah, really. He's the one that called us, you know. But, you know, God's good, and He knows, you know. And I'm sure that helped him, you know what I mean. We told him, we'll be praying for you. And, you know, we knew that he was going to pass away and be with the Lord. So what do we start saying? Lord, please take him quickly. Take him quickly so he don't have to suffer a lot. And you know what? He took him very quickly. I mean, they didn't even get a chance to put him in hospice. He died while he was in the hospital. And you know, and when Don Bradford, when he was in the hospital, went and seen him, I sat there and we went, me and Mike was there, and I was talking with Don, and we was kidding him about when we played golf, you know, and all this. And he was just talking, just regular old Don, you know. Don talk your ear off, because he's a salesman, was a salesman, you know, them guys, they got a gift for gab. But anyway, he just, you know, he was laughing and carrying on and everything. And we just felt like, you know, he says, you know, I you know, my time's short, basically what he said. And I said, we'll be praying for you. And we prayed, Lord, please take him quickly. And he died within a day or so. I mean, you know, but he was cognizant enough to where he talked to all the people that were there, and he joked with them, and he was just normal Don, you know. And that was sort of the way it was, too, with Kenny. All of his grandkids and everybody showed up at the hospital those few days that he was in there, you know. And he talked with them, and he was joking with them, and they were laughing and stuff. And then he went, you know. And that's the way to go. You know what I mean? let them have a good memory before you go. Not something like it's just, oh God, this is awful and all that. But you know. But anyway, I was glad that he called us, you know, because he wanted to get that off his chest. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad he called us, you know. Because Loretta was surprised. She said, how'd you guys know? She called us. We said, well, Kenny called us. Really? I said, yeah, really. But anyway, anybody else? Come on, guys. Somebody out here's got some testimonies. You ain't had no tests? Go ahead. Holden, you need to stay over that way because maybe the Lord will give you a word for some of these people.
Well, I babysit or I help Brian on the weekends because Natalia works. So this has been years ago, but I was sharing this with my daughter-in-law the other day, how when the kids were at the house, they were eating lunch. Well, it was just Felicity and Theodore at the time because he was a baby and she was mm-hmm. about three. And she was eating. We had LaRose's, of course, and she was running around the house and, you know, which Daryl and I never approved of, but they let the kids just kind of run around with food. Well, all of a sudden, Brian looks up and says, Mom, she's choking. Mm. And I look over there, and sure enough, she was trying to cough, and she had just eaten a real big bite. Mm. And Brian goes over real quickly, because he's a nurse, and does the Heimlich and doesn't work. And I'm looking on, too, thinking, call 911, and of course our house phone wasn't working. Neither one of us could find our cell phone, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to attend to Felicity, and I'm just feeling helpless. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been a nurse all my life, and I'm feeling totally helpless. And finally, you know, she's coughing, and I see her knees start to buckle, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be doing CPR on my granddaughter. And then I said, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do here. Please help me. I went over, grabbed her, picked her up, sat down, bent her over my knees, and did back blows, and it came right out.
Praise the Lord.
But it's like, why was I waiting so long to ask God, you know, to yeah. show me what to do? Because, it, you know, obviously my training had proven okay because I knew what to do, but praise I really God. Didn't feel like I could do anything.
Amen.
But she is doing very well now.
Yeah. Praise God. You know, my mother told me about one of her friends one time. They used to have prayer meetings at my house when I was a little kid, and I'd hear them going in the back room sometime. Took two or three of them, and they'd pray, you know, and stuff. And she told me about this lady. Her name was Christine, and she said her husband, Ralph, had sugar diabetes, you know. And he was had it pretty bad because they had amputated some things on him and stuff. And she said that he had... I don't know, whatever happens to you when you have like an episode where he fell on the floor and stuff and couldn't do anything, you know, and all this kind. And she said she tried giving him something sweet, you know, and different things, trying to pull him out of that, you know. And she said nothing was working. And she said she felt like the Lord said, why don't you try me? And she said, I started praying for him. It said he popped right out of it as soon as I started praying for him. We need to learn that's the first place we should always go. We tend to go there last a lot of times because we try to make it happen. Like, you know, like you were saying, we try to make it happen. And when things aren't working, we need to say, Lord, we need you in this situation, you know. And I tell you what, we might be surprised at the miraculous things that God would do if we'll go there first even. And even what you did, I mean, you know, when you do the Heimlich on somebody and it don't come up, you know, I had chicken caught in my throat before and a couple of them other things. That's a miserable, miserable feeling. I could breathe, though, but it was awful feeling, you know. And, you know, it's sometimes we have a tendency we go everywhere else but to the Lord in it, you know. Praise God. Anybody else? I'm sure he probably does if he's willing to share it.
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, come on, buddy. praise the Lord. You know, a lot of times when God opens an opportunity for us to do something, we either do it or we don't. And a lot of times if we don't do it, when we walk away, we kind of feel bad. You know, we kind of think, oh, I really should have done it. You know what I mean? And I've been there many a time when I was a real young Christian, you know. But, you know, if God opens a door for you, be willing to step through the door. And you'll never be wrong in what you do. He'll meet you there. Well, what, anybody else? All right.
The Lord always makes a way. I have an old house. Can y'all hear me okay? I have an old house. And a day ago, I looked down in the basement, and where the hot water heater, not the hot water heater, the meter, hot, not the hot water, the meter, is dripping all over the floor. And I said, well, crap. It's getting near Christmas time, so I have a wonderful handyman, and he comes over. And the part alone is going to be $100. Mm-hmm. But the Lord always brings somebody that can help you out that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm very thankful that I have this guy that really helps me out. And Kathy was talking about this dog in her dream. Well, I didn't have a dream about a dog, but I have a cat that absolutely adores me. I'm sitting on the toilet, she's laying on my feet. I'm sitting in the recliner, she's laying on my lap. I go to bed at night, she's laying by my side. And she loves me so much in the middle of the night, she wants to headbutt me to let me know how much she loves me. So I might be up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But it just goes to show you that unconditional love.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Praise the Lord.
Now it's your turn, Holden.
Anybody else? Okay, well, that's pretty good. It's because it's 20 after, so that was what we should have done this morning. That's what I felt like we were supposed to do. And I might share the rest of that scripture with you sometime. But let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we can go back and I don't know if the pizza's here yet, but it's probably pretty close because I think I seen Denise go out the back door a while ago. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I thank you for these testimonies. You know, Lord, sometimes we hesitate to give you the glory for something and to thank you. And, you know, praise is the fruit of our lips. And thanksgiving is what we need to do because that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, that we thank you for everything. And that doesn't mean just thank you for the good stuff, but we even thank you in the midst of bad stuff, what seems to be bad. And we'll find out that a lot of times what we thought was going to be bad, it really turns out to be good. And I just thank you, Lord, and I ask you to just bless our fellowship as we go back to eat and that you just minister to people back there and just let us have a lovely time just talking about the goodness of the Lord and just fellowshiping with each other. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you all.